Broadcasting live from atop the Rocky Mountains, the crossroads of the West. You are listening to the Liberty Roundtable Radio Talk Show.
All right. Happy to have you along, my fellow Americans. Sam Bushman live on your radio. Hard-hitting news the networks refuse to use, no doubt, starts now. This, my fellow Americans, is the broadcast for March the 4th in the year of our Lord, 2024. This is hour one of two, and the goal always to protect life, liberty, and property, to promote God, family, and country, using the checks and balances brilliantly woven into the supreme law of the land, the Constitution for the United States of America, our guide. We reject revolution unless it's a Jesus revolution. We actually stand for peaceful restoration of the greatest country on the face of the earth. Welcome to the broadcast. Dr. Scott Bradley is with me. Before we get to the good doctor, though, I just want to kind of highlight several things. We were together last Friday, and we focused on so many different things, it's not even funny. Sometimes there's just too many topics to discuss, it seems like. We talked about the biggest storm of winter, Sierra Nevada. They claim that, you know, hey, 100 inches of snow. It's been a disaster, big old storms, all kinds of problems. We talked about the worst Texas wildfire in history, still burning out of control. We talked about obesity overtakes hunger as biggest threat to world, you know, to the world, I guess, health-wise. We talked about Oprah Winfrey had to bail from Weight Watchers because she used drugs to lose weight, not Weight Watchers. Joe Biden should be charged with treason for refusing to secure America's borders. Chuck Baldwin writes a piece, chuckbaldwinlive.com. We don't exactly see it that way because treason's very narrowly defined, folks. There's a lot of things that are criminal. Joe's certainly guilty of criminal activity. Treason may be another matter because the founding fathers set the bar so high for that. Anything can be considered treason or nothing almost, it seems. And with the narrow definition, we've really got to, you know, understand what that means. In other words, we can't just throw out that word. And it's kind of like saying fraud. You know, fraud is such a high bar. Not only do you have to prove the wrongdoing, but prove that it was intentionally done with forethought. And, you know, the bar is really high on that stuff. So let's use other words relating to criminal activity for sure, but let's avoid the treason word because it's just not helpful to build a bridge that far. If you can't, you know, provide proof that rises to that bar of reality, then you lose the argument even though you were correct on the point. So you almost lose ground with that argument if you're not very, very, very careful indeed, ladies and gentlemen. If not, but when is the question that I have, will we have a current Tet offensive on our hands? Is that what's going to be happening in America soon? I pray the answer is no, but it's looking more like it every single day. That was hour one with Dr. Bradley on Friday. Hour two, we talked about Steve Baker. He reveals who's calling the shots regarding January the 6th. He says it's Capitol Police. Why the Capitol Police? Because they know where all the bodies are buried. They know everything. Yeah, Blaze News investigative writer Steve Baker says the FBI wants him to self-surrender on Friday, which he did, by the way. This is retribution. There's more and more evidence of the insane corruption at the top of the Capitol Police, Steve says. They're more powerful than Congress itself, Steve continues, adding that House Speaker Mike Johnson basically said he controls the footage. Well, why haven't you released it, Mike? Well, because he's part of the swamp. That's why we're seeing more evidence to that reality check as they push to promote and expand 702 Spy on All of Us plans behind the scenes as well. Anyway, we talked about techno censorship when corporations serve as a front for government censors, writes John and Tanisha Whitehead. They rely on a set of privacy, quote, loopholes. And the White House under Obama, Trump, and Biden, they're all criminal in this regard, and they didn't do anything to stop it when they had the chance. It's a disgrace, folks. It really is. Well, there's so much going on, so little time. I want to bring this up about Steve Baker because we talked about it on Friday. So they wanted him to appear in shorts, a T-shirt, and flip-flops because it's easy to put you in a jumpsuit that way. He refused and went in a suit. And I commend him for that. He went in a suit. They did arrest him. He's already out on his own recognizances. This is a disaster, folks. The government is absolutely out of control, is the only thing I have to say. But the latest on Blaze News investigative writer, Steve Baker, he was handcuffed and charged. Yeah, the charges? We want to talk about these with Dr. Scott Bradley. Welcome to the broadcast, sir.
Well, thank you. I guess they were misdemeanors. But before we jump on that, I can't take but a moment here, and it will be just a moment. I don't want to distract from the discussion. I do all the time, though. I know, I apologize, but that's me. 54 years ago this week, this is a cautionary note. If we don't do something about things when they're small and seemingly isolated and incidental, they become metastasized into almost a universal egregious act. And so the reason I bring this up is 54 years ago.
Yeah, the
today,
point is the elephant's nose is not just in the tent. The elephant's taking over the tent now, right?
Right, but 54 years ago, at least in my life, it was, while it was 100% of a disaster, it was very small and insignificant. What happened was I was in processing to a new base, and there were a small group of us that were isolated and injected with an experimental vaccine. We were some of the early participants in the experimental vaccine program, not by our desire, our volunteering or anything. It was compulsory. And a small group of us were the first human beings to be injected with an experimental vaccine. Okay, so I had some egregious side effects from it. I believe I still suffer from them, but that was a thing where they took, they felt like we were the closest thing to human flesh that they could find to inject it with to see what happened. But what has happened over those ensuing 54 years has been a universal application of that mentality, certainly across the entire spectrum of military. People were, they were exited from the missionary, entire military, discharged. Many lost their retirements. I've been down that path and a lot too. But the fact of the matter is, we have allowed this to go so it's almost to the point of universal application of that concept to the American populace. And what needs to happen? I use it as a cautionary note, I say, but we need to stay no. We need to stop whatever march they're on. See, it was like 2.5 years ago when Newsom put his horrid California mandates out about the COVID con. And you know what? There's stuff a brew anymore. We got X coming out and everything. Just people, please, if we're not wise, we'll continue to go down that path until all of our options are closed off. Most people have never done a rabbit drive to get rid of hordes of rabbits that are destroying farms and everything. But you narrow their options down to a very narrow field of fire that actually ends up being a killing field. And that's kind of what we're being herded into, is a killing field in terms of, at the very least, liberty and proper government. Maybe tyranny will be fully implemented, but we just keep going merrily on our way. And like I say, 54 years ago, there was just a handful of us. Well, probably 50, maybe. At any rate, I never counted noses. But at any rate, the fact of the matter is, we have to be wise. This journalist that gets arrested, what an asinine thing to do. 4 misdemeanors, and he gets arrested. What kind of idiots are doing things? I mean,
I want to talk about these misdemeanors things. Because yeah. Misdemeanor is a minor thing. But not only are they so minor, Dr. Bradley, but I can't really even understand the discussion on this because they're so vague. The charges are this: knowingly entering or remaining in. So knowingly entering or remaining in any restricted building or grounds without lawful authority. Now, I don't even know
show
what that means.
Show him the exit if he stumbled into something.
What do you mean by knowingly entering? How do you know that you knowingly entered when the door was open, cops are inviting people in, people are being pushed and forced in? My dear friend, she was forced in by the crowd. She was standing there, and before you know it, she was pushed inside the Capitol. And what do you mean knowingly entering or remaining in a restricted building or grounds without lawful authority? Now, how do you obtain lawful authority, number one? This is really chilling. And number two, my question is, how do you know that you shouldn't be there when there's all kinds of people there? The cops are shaking hands with people, inviting people in, and all these different things, all the different signs that would show that it was a restricted area. Barricades were taken down before a lot of people even got there. This is an insane charge, for one. Number two, disorderly and disruptive conduct in a, quote, restricted building or grounds. Now, this restricted building or grounds is the real discussion. Go ahead and skip the break. But over and over, I don't even know what that means, disorderly and disruptive conduct. He was a journalist. He was documenting what was going on. Okay, so we got one, just being there. Two, then, disorderly and disruptive conduct, whatever that really means. Three, disorderly conduct in a Capitol building. Now, wait a minute. Disorderly and disruptive conduct in a restricted building or grounds and disorderly conduct in a Capitol building. Is there a difference by the law? That's very interesting, weird. Then the fourth one, parading, demonstrating, or picketing in a Capitol building. Now is he parading, demonstrating, or picketing? So, none of this makes any sense to me, doctor, and every one of it's just like, you shouldn't have been here, you should have known it, and therefore we're throwing the book at you for this, and you're getting arrested? I don't really understand this whole thing, but I have to agree with Steve, this is clear retribution. Glenn Beck, founder of Blaze Media, wrote about this. He wrote this in a Friday morning op-ed piece, if you will, that Baker's First Amendment battle is really ours. It's all of our battle. Okay? The bottom line is when the United States government can come after individuals, that's when you know we're in serious trouble. Our republic is crumbling at the very seams. Okay, Glenn Beck said, I've always said that if they end up destroying your rights like this, where do we go? After Donald Trump, they'll go out of people like you and me. Now, Steve is kind of along the way. But I look at him, what did he do, Dr. Bradley? He didn't really do anything except for go inside somewhere to document what was going down, and that's it.
It's very interesting. I believe that the charges are worded in such a way, they're crafted in such a way to actually reflect the verbiage of statutes that have been passed. Okay, so what they've done is they've charged him according to the verbiage of what they believe will be most able to be pinned on him based upon the fact he was there. Now, they're using the words of the statute in the charges, which is really a crafty way to do things. I mean, it really truly is. And the fact that we've crafted these kind of things, it's interesting to me that the idea of the First Amendment, the freedom of speech and press, is being crafted out of existence by things like the Patriot Act and some of these other egregious things that are happening with the new regime that's in power, and how it is a tightening of the noose, you know, a Nazi-ish kind of thing. But I find it fascinating to me that what they do is they create a kind of a propaganda class, a class where they give license. They say, oh, yeah, you can be embedded with the troops. You know, you go along and you tell the story we want told, whatever's happening in Iraq or Afghanistan or whatever. There may have been embedded journalists that got a permission to go where the story was, you know, in something that's happening in Washington, D.C., but these are pre-vetted individuals. They're kind of like what happens in the White House briefings and stuff, where there are accepted shills for a storyline, and they get the press.
Yeah, they're not going to let Sam Bushman get in there and report now, are they, Doctor?
No, they're absolutely not. And the problem is that this freedom of speech kind of thing is prior constraint placed on it by these prior arrangements by saying, oh, you're a vetted and approved journalist, and so what your presence is and what you write, oh yeah, we'll do that. You know what, the Soviets did that back in the 1920s and 30s. There were American journalists that became shills for communism, that Stalin, you know, he you know, feted them in feasts and wine parties and everything else like that. They wrote stories, glowing stories, about how great things were in the Soviet Union while the kulaks were being starved and bombed to death. And so in a way, this is Stalinist kind of things, where there's an approved cadre of those that will tell the story that the establishment wants, and they're okay. But if somebody's not on that approved list, hasn't been vetted the way they need, and somehow some of their verbiage gets out, oh my goodness, we're going to come down with a big hammer. That's the antithesis of the Americanist philosophy of freedom of speech and press. Now, there's a lot of other things that are being egregiously violated, too. I use egregious a lot because the word really captures so much horrific stuff that can be thrown under it. But I kind of think that's where it is with this guy. I think that they, oh no, he's not one of our approved flunky shills, you know, somebody that's going to basically tell the storyline we want. Just like what they did with the media in the COVID con, how only the people that were not with the storyline, not with the narrative, it was a script. If you will not abide by their script, suddenly you're a target. Again, cautionary note, this stuff is happening. The ball is rolling. Maybe it's well down the path. Maybe
you're right about that. Now, the good news is Glenn Beck and others, that's the Blaze, and that's why I'm focusing so much on him, because Glenn is a co-founder of the Blaze, and it's the Blaze reporter that we're talking about here. Steve works for the Blaze. But the good thing is Glenn Beck says, you know what? Excuse me. You know what? Steve's not detoured, and we're not either. And then basically it says this, Blaze News, Steve Baker, released from courthouse after arrest, and notables have been reacting. Even the liberals and stuff now are kind of going, whoa, we've gone way too far on this thing. And there's a lot of people now speaking out going, what's happening to Steve just isn't right. What's happening to Steve? Where do you have the right to peacefully assemble? Where do you have the right for journalistic integrity? That's really the question that we're asking is this. Do we just have to make a policy, Dr. Bradley, that none of us will ever go into a government building of any kind ever again? Because how do you know that you're lawfully and okay to be there? They'll just turn it around and say, you didn't have authority to be there, buddy. Unless you can prove you did, you're done.
An individual I'm acquainted with, this happened in 2010. Anyway, I had some involvement in it because he was totally panicked. He got caught in a trap. He was in Washington, D.C., and there was a monument there. This was an outside monument. No doors. You know, he didn't have to break down a door to get in or anything like that. He was walking around it. Walking around it. And they arrested him. Now, again, he's involved in the Liberty program. You know, he wants to stand with Liberty. He had helped with some of my campaigning. And he got arrested for walking around a monument in Washington, D.C. Now, when they arrested him, he had a pocket knife in his pocket. Now, I got to tell you, I'm kind of...
Yeah, you got to throw some big old enhancements on that sucker.
Trust me, having a weapon like that.
Come on.
Well, by the way, I flew here a week or so ago, and I had to disarm myself with five knives. Before, I mean, I carry a few, you know, you got different ones for different needs, you know, trim your fingernails and maybe whittle with whatever, you know. Anyway, this guy had a pocket
open
knife.
Boxes
I know him.
And such.
He's, for sure. He lives in a rural area and they use knives out there to open, like you say, packaging and maybe trim some stuff, whatever. He had a pocket knife. When I was 4 years old, my grandpa gave me my first pocket knife, and he said, a man always has a pocket knife. That's what he told me. I've always carried them since I was four. So anyway, this guy, it was like getting dressed in the morning. He had a pocket knife in his pocket. It wasn't a big, you know, Bowie knife that he was going to go take to war with or anything like that, or K-bar that he was going to use as a combat knife. It was a pocket knife.
In the old days, to Americans, these things were tools. Knives and guns were tools. Now they're somehow this outlawed criminalistic thing. That's not in the minds of people who day-to-day use these things at all.
Well, so what happened with him, his little walking around the monument got enhanced when they pulled a pocket knife out of his pocket to a felony. And he was facing at least 5 years in a federal penitentiary. I mean, we have bozos and baboons that are running things, and they run with these kinds of things. I remember one time we were going in, my wife and I were going to go observe a court case that was, again, a kangaroo court that was going on. And you got to go through all of the security stuff like at the airport when you go in. And oddly enough, my wife carries a little tiny, this is a little old-timer pocket knife, probably an inch and a half, 2 inches long, folded up. Okay, the blade is probably an inch and a half, maybe. Anyway, I mean, we're talking stuff that you could hardly, you know, trim your fingernails with. But at any rate, she put her purse through the, the x-ray machine. Oh, my goodness. I mean, alarms, the whole nine yards. They had sheriffs and deputies standing around. They're going through her purse. You know, they dump everything out on the countertop. There's nothing there. There's nothing there. Nothing there. Well, what had happened is some time before, we don't know when, the lining in the purse had become worn where the pocket knife was, and it had worn into the lining, and it had gone into the, you know, the inner sanctum, if you will, of the purse. And it was in there. She was totally unaware of it. It's been so long since she'd used it. But suddenly, and then this guy tears open that purse, and he pulls out that knife, and he holds it up like it's a trophy, a victory. See? See what's in there? I mean, it was a all hands on deck, let's observe this thing. This is absolutely asinine. You know, do you remember that Crocodile Dundee thing where the guy's on the street and he pulls a knife on Crocodile Dundee, you know, a gangster kid, you know, a hoodlum. He pulls a knife on him and the girl's going, he's got a knife. And Crocodile Dundee pulls out his big Bowie-type knife and says, that's not a knife. This is a knife. You know, we're so scared. We are scared spitless, and we could use a more strong term. We are scared spitless nowadays in our little mamby-pamby wokeism about the littlest, most insignificant. Can you imagine, Matt?
Yeah, my wife had sewing scissors, and they're used to cut thread. They're teeny. I mean they're teeny. They're like as big as your pinky, maybe a teeny bit bigger, but not much. They're tiny. They can't even cut your finger, really. I mean, they can if you just like try to pinch a piece of skin, but they're just not even big enough to. Anyway, they found those in my wife's bag one time and just stole them, just took them. They said, you just can't have a weapon like this. And she's like, a weapon? What?
More asinine than that. When we went through security, Salt Lake City, worst airport on the planet, probably. I mean, I think it ranks that way. It's brand new, but it's poorly designed, horrific to get around in. The security is absolutely absurd. I mean, I've flown internationally recently with this bottle of aftershave lotion in my carry-on. Can you imagine? Anyway, both my wife and I got pulled aside for extra security when we went through. Now, there's maybe another story that we told there, but we both got pulled aside for extra security. She got her hairspray confiscated, and I got my aftershave that I have been, like I say, multiple international flights, multiple flights within the domestic, and at Salt Lake, I carried it through Salt Lake City the last time I went through, I think it was probably middle of December. Anyway, same bottle of aftershave. But it got confiscated. It's like, are you kidding me? This, by the way, it's an aftershave that was created during the Jefferson administration. It's not the same one of the bottles, that would be a rarity, but it's the same, you know, fragrance, if you will. And it was developed in France, actually during the Napoleonic period. But, you know, that gives you a time frame. We're talking over 225 years ago. So it's been around a long time. It's a, you know, something that people should be used to. But, oh, by golly. They discovered my aftershave in my carry-on, and my wife's carry-on had hairspray in it. We have become the most cowardly lions that ever walked the earth, that take your shoes off because some bozo tried to pull off a stunt decades ago that had no deleterious outcome, and we are still taking our shoes off for crying out loud. I mean, it is, you just have to say, these things spiral out of control, and I know we've maybe varied somewhat from your desired topic, but really, little tiny things happen, and they metastasize into big things, and we end up with a full-blown
I'm grateful, journey. I'm grateful Steve Baker got released. Now let's fight this thing to the nth degree, ladies and gentlemen. We got to move the needle on liberty, and right now this is out of control. Intimidation tactics by your general government, it's got to stop. Also, the CDC's in the news. We'll tell you about that in seconds on your radio.
Proclaiming liberty across the land. You're listening to Liberty News Radio.
USA News, I'm Ryan Daniels. For the first time, Nikki Haley is the anticipated winner of a GOP primary, reportedly coming out on top in Washington, D.C. on Sunday. Meanwhile, Donald Trump celebrating a handful of new state caucus victories across the U.S. this weekend. Republicans gathered for caucuses in Missouri, Michigan, and Idaho Saturday. Trump rallied in Virginia.
We want to send a big signal, so it's important. I mean, we don't need your vote. We want you to get out, though, and vote in big margins, and we want to send that little freight train going along.
Haley has vowed to remain in the race through Super Tuesday, March 5th. The impeachment inquiry against President Joe Biden marches on despite recent setbacks. Republicans on Capitol Hill now want to bring forward U.S. Attorney General Merrick Garland for an interview, announcing a new subpoena. Kentucky Congressman James Comer, on with Fox Business, says this is about Biden's favorable classified documents case result.
We have some emails from Hunter Biden to various people around the globe that he was receiving money from, that in these emails are attachments that appear to be government documents. We want to know, were those part of the classified documents?
Elon Musk is suing OpenAI and its CEO. Musk co-founded the artificial intelligence company and claims that it drifted from its original nonprofit mission, from OpenAI's founding charter, and he wants the company to pay back all of its profits. Paxlovid use could save lives and money.
University of Texas researchers found that administering the antiviral drug Paxlovid after a COVID-19 diagnosis resulting in estimated savings of $57 to $170 billion. The research indicates that Paxlovid use could potentially save around 30,000 lives during a significant outbreak.
USA's John Schaefer. This is USA News.
I'd like to introduce you to our new sponsor, Get the Tea. Get the Tea carries all natural, non-GMO organic teas and supplements made in the USA. Get the Tea's ingredients are the purest available. My favorite is Life Change Tea. Life Change Tea is a gentle daily cleanse containing 12 herbs that when combined really keep things moving. I drink it every day and my energy has never been better. I'm feeling great. Life Change Tea comes in three delicious flavors, natural, peppermint, and pomegranate. It's an easy and delicious way to keep your digestion on track. And for those on the go, try D365. D365 is Life Change Tea in a capsule. Drink the tea or take D365 capsules and keep your digestion running smoothly. Go to GetTheTea.com and enter discount code USA to get 10% off any size order. That's GetTheTea.com, discount code USA for 10% off your order.
Do you know what is great about America? Ask an immigrant. Ask an Immigrant is a new podcast dedicated to helping Americans, especially our youth, value, appreciate, and be grateful for the freedoms we have here in America. Join host Lydia Wallace Nuttall as she interviews immigrants from around the world to discover their inspiring personal stories about why they came to America. To learn more about why America is the most prosperous, greatest country in the world, download the Loving Liberty app or go to lovingliberty.net.
In the medical field, IT security is crucial. Our highly skilled consultants are HIPAA certified and have 20 plus years of experience servicing medical clinics, billing and supply companies. We offer comprehensive endpoint protection, guarding your computers and servers against all stages of threats. And with our 24/7 monitoring services, you'll never worry about extensive downtime again. Ready to level up your IT support? Call 801-706-6980 today and discover how great IT services can be with Managed IT Services.
As a parent, is receiving a faith-based, character-focused education for your children difficult to find? Do you believe that godly principles should be a central component in your child's education? Imagine a school where faith and integrity are at its center, where heritage and responsibility instill character. For over 40 years, American Heritage School has been educating both hearts and minds, bringing out academic excellence. This is the school where character and embracing the providence of a living God are fundamental, where students' national test scores average near the 90th percentile. With American Heritage School's Advanced Distance Education Program, distance is no longer an issue. With an accredited LDS-oriented curriculum from kindergarten through 12th grade, your children can attend from anywhere in the world. American Heritage School will prepare your child for more than a job. It will prepare them for life. To learn more, visit American-Heritage.org. That's American-Heritage.org.
All right, the Center for Disease Control and Prevention, the CDC, said people with COVID now do not need to isolate for 5 days anymore. They claim the, quote, science of the illness is unchanged, but the toll has lessened. So you're all good. You don't need to isolate anymore, doctor.
Well, you know, everything that's happened on this Bravo Sierra of the COVID con is up for grabs. I don't believe that we have been told the truth from the very beginning. I believe it's been an agenda-driven process from the very beginning. They say the science, what science? Did they have a test tube in the room or the building that they decided this in? I don't know. Did they have a Bunsen burner? I don't know. But the, everything is such a absolute charade, facade, just absolutely a shambles. And for this, I mean, fine, okay, we don't have to isolate anymore, okay. Was there any value in it before? I mean, the seasonal flu is more deadly in so many ways for so many different, you know.
Yeah, this is their way to get out of harm's way and to try to release this and hope that they don't get prosecuted to the fullest extent of the law. They're saying, well, the science hasn't changed, but, hey, the toll has lessened. In other words, you know, hey, most people are vaccinated now. People aren't getting as sick. The hospitals aren't overwhelmed. But it's all based on a lie, and they're trying to back out of this now. And what we need to do is press the envelope on this and say, look, you know what? You guys just have these, you know, ideas that now you're being forced to back off of without real explanation. Because if the science hasn't changed, how do we know the next version won't be just crazy viral and stuff? They put themselves into a corner over this one, and now they're struggling to try to weasel their way out of it, doctor, without criminal charges being filed against them. Rand Paul and others are doing a great job at trying to hold accountability, but not enough Americans care, so it's not going anywhere.
Well, I wrote I haven't counted, but about a thousand word piece Saturday, I believe it was, that it's the briefest of brief reviews of the charade that we've been living under. And I'm not letting it die. I'm going to be a bulldog on the bone. Every chance I get, I bring it up. The CDC, the NIH, the WHO, Gavi. I mean, you know, you mention any of these things. The Fauci facade.
Yeah, email me your column on it, and I'll publish it.
Well, it's not really a call. I've been publishing it on Facebook and on Twitter. And not Twitter. I don't do Twitter. What do they call those?
X.
Where you,
Instagram.
You know, No, it's just I've been sending out various to people that have been interested, you know.
Yeah, send it to me and turn it into a column or turn it into an article that I can publish, and I'll publish it. We'll put it up for people to use because that's important, really. That's critically important.
I will look at it again today, but here's the deal. Every single step of the way, we have been bamboozled.
Oh, for sure.
We have given up so much for this false narrative. And you know, you talk about the PCR tests. I mean, these things, they were a total charade right from the very beginning. The guy that invented them, of course, he was put to death very shortly thereafter.
They basically said they weren't meant to be used for this at all, and it won't work, and it's not reliable, and you can't count on it, is what he said.
Anytime you do all the iterations that they do, I mean, if you do 50 iterations, you run it through 50 times, by golly, you're going to get something. You don't know what, but you're going to get something. And it, to do it any more than 25 iterations doesn't even have any validity. You do it that few, and there's almost no designations of, oh, we found COVID. But that's what everybody, they lined up around the block to get their
noses
swabbed.
Yeah, and they funded and paid for tests and sent everybody a gazillion tests, too. It was a big handout program. It's insane. Well, we got somewhat good news, at least. The U.S. Supreme Court, it's a late-breaking release just this morning. U.S. Supreme Court hands Trump huge win in Colorado ballot case. The court ruled that he cannot be disqualified from the Colorado ballot or any other ballot because of the 14th Amendment. It doesn't work. So Trump wins big on this one. My problem is the Supreme Court coming out with this, though, a day before the primaries. Shouldn't they have come out with this and created certainty like weeks and weeks ago? They act like they're so busy they could barely get to this thing or whatever. This is insane. In my opinion, it's already created vote tampering and vote manipulation just based on this uncertainty around elections and who you can vote for and who you can't. Now, I'm glad they at least, you know, came out with it. That's why I say it's good news. The witch hunt's got to stop, doctor.
Well, absolutely. But Sam, from the very nanosecond that this came out, we've been talking about it. We've been talking about the complete idiocy and how this is driven. It's lawfare instead of warfare. You know, you kind of got to draw the analogy there. But at any rate, complete lawfare to it is voter fraud. It is involved in trying to skew the results of an election based upon any kind of legal charade that they can come up with. And, you know, we predicted this from the very get-go. I mean, the 14th Amendment, the Article 3 on that, a complete, there's been no charges, there's been no trial, there's been no due process, there's been no conviction. I mean, but it's like a lot of the things that are happening where there's no victim. And they're making a big deal about this in the New York thing about the fraud stuff that's been brought against Trump. No victims, no losers, nobody hurt, and the banks want to do more business with Trump. Everybody's happy camper except for the district attorney. But that's the way a lot of things are. I mean, if you get so many times you'll get written a ticket nowadays where there's no victim. Nobody got damaged. There's no harm. I mean, you know, we used to play shirts and skins basketball, you know, no harm, no foul. That was kind of how we played. Oh, you got a bloody nose, maybe there should have been a foul. But the fact of the matter is, there is no victim in virtually anything that happens anymore. We have created a nation of snowflakes. Wokeism has overcome this nation. And I started when we talk, going back to that stupid pocket knife thing I brought up with this friend of mine that got arrested and turned into a felony when he walked around a monument in Washington, D.C. You know, I just thought about, you know, Matt Dillon. You think about Gunsmoke and the cowboy movies in both 50s and 60s. Anyway, if Matt Dillon arrested somebody and the guy had a little penknife in his pocket that they were putting him in jail, they never even bothered to confiscate it. I mean, it was because what harm's it going to do? If a guy was stupid enough to pull it on you and try and stab you with it, you'd probably shoot him. So what are you worried about, you know? And that's just the way society was. I mean,
I think what they're trying to do is ratchet up the intimidation against all of us too. When you lie about COVID and then back off like that, when you literally put, Steve Baker in arrest him publicly or whatever else, you're just trying to send an agenda of fear across the nation. And that's what, you know, dictators love to intimidate by fear. When the people are afraid of the government, we have tyranny. When the government's afraid of the people, we have liberty. And boy, howdy, you can see what we've got today, that's for sure. And now the CDC's saying, hey, you don't need to isolate. So just so you know, you've been given a pass to run around free. The question becomes, will they put on the back end of this, though, vaccine passports still or not? That's under debate as well.
Well, who was trying to do that?
Now the U.S. Supreme Court giving Trump a huge victory. That's good news, supposedly, but we'll see what really happens. Now, Nikki Haley won her first primary. Did you see this? D.C. She won a primary in D.C., ladies and gentlemen. Now you look at this and you go, they're acting like that's huge? To me, that just shows what a deep stater she is. All the capital liberal, woke, whacked out deep state folks literally said that Haley beats Trump in D.C. Well, that's only helping Donald Trump. Nobody wants a D.C. rat to be president. Okay?
Yes, so absolutely.
The fact that she won it and they're acting like it's a big win for her, she's still in the race, is insane, doctor. To any thinking American who cared would be like, okay, so she won the deep state. All that does is indict her. And let Trump, you know, have more support than he's ever had, right?
Well, that's the thing. You know, the old saying in New York, you could indict a ham sandwich with the kind of juries and grand juries you've got there. Well, in Washington, D.C., it's probably an order of magnitude beyond that, 10 times worse. Washington, D.C.
Amen.
Is completely contrived. And by the way, I've got a friend that's very, he makes a pretty credible argument, I think, on this. If you go to the Constitution, Article 1, Section 8, Clause 17, and you look how they created Washington, D.C. in that clause, along with other justifications for federally held land, which are very limited, by the way, and constrained also. But Washington, D.C. is a 10 miles square, not 10 square miles. And so it's 10 miles on one edge and 10 miles on another edge. And you do that, it's 100 square miles, right? So it's 64,000 acres. That's it, total. Well, it's been shrunk, okay? There has been an alteration from what was originally there. So Washington, D.C., that's the maximum size of it, okay? They could make Washington, D.C. a very, very small blip of a, you know, there's the Capitol, and there's the White House, and there's the Supreme Court, and, oh, by the way, we've got a mall. I mean, all the Washington Monument, whatever. But the fact of the matter is, it doesn't have to be.
Yeah,
as
go ahead and skip the break. You're right about that. But anyway, I find it fascinating. So here's the score. Haley, 62.8%. Donald, 33.3%. So they're trying to make this a big deal. Like, see, nobody wants the Donald. But I submit to you that it'll backfire, and it's just the opposite. These clowns in D.C. have no real read on what we the people are thinking at all. They're calling this a victory and stuff. And to me, it's just more evidence of how they're just absolutely clueless of what we the people think. Either they're clueless and don't know or don't care. Probably a lot of both. Moving right along, momentum builds around the most important conservative boycotts yet, ladies and gentlemen. Let me say that headline again. Momentum builds around the most important conservative boycotts yet. Who am I talking about? Western Journal came out with this. Douglas Golden wrote the article. Who are we talking about? CVS and Walgreens. Why? The two largest pharmacy chains in the United States, CVS and Walgreens, are planning to sell abortion pills in March, after the government said, yeah, you can totally offer abortion pills. And so now Walgreens and CVS are doing this. The conservatives are boycotting, saying, look, we don't want you to fund, promote, ingrace yourself into this abortion agenda. Don't do it. So this could make Bud Light and Target look like child's play, some are saying. The question becomes, will it get enough traction? To me, the issue is clear. We've moved to murder. Chemical abortion pills is murder. So you can get, you know, murder at their pharmacy or murder through the mail pills. And no one seems to be really too worried about it. We've got to make this go viral, though, and push back on this, doctor.
Well, yeah, there's a couple of things people ought to be aware of. Yes, these potions that Blackstone spoke about in his commentaries on the law that the founders devoured, knew it was manslaughter. And anyway, these potions are going to be made available in these two pharmacies if the state has not eliminated that as an option. So some states, they're not going to enter too. So you might go into your CVS or your Walgreens in your state, and they say, oh, no, we don't sell that, okay? But the corporation has made the determination that they're going to place them every place they can. And so even if you go into your little pharmacy and the guy says, oh, no, no, we don't carry those. Oh, okay, suddenly we can back off and walk away. We're going to do business with them. You do what you want. But as for me and my house, we do not stand with things that are destructive. And like I say, there's products. Even though I've got some Nike products, I mean, you know, that I bought years and years ago, you know, the Nike logoed shirt or shoes or something, I will never wear them. I just don't wear them. I don't like to be a walking billboard for those people with their woke position. And I think that if Americans realize that CVS and Walgreens have taken a corporate stand that they are going to support the idea that it's good to kill babies before they get born, we can give them a potion. By the way, the potion problem will probably result, my guess, in a higher number of abortions, deaths of babies before they're born, than the old-fashioned way of going to an abortion clinic and having a procedure performed. I believe that these products, these chemical products, will probably result in a higher death rate for babies than what was going on prior to the overthrow of Roe v. Wade. So if your state has got a law that says you can't sell these things in our states, but the corporations have made the decision. You need to make a decision yourself. Do I support this or not?
The other problem is the U.S. Post Office was given permission by the FDA to go ahead and sell across state lines, even in states that have outlawed it, doctor.
Well, and there may be some, shall we say, some mobility on that decision, too, because I don't think that that's all said and done at this point.
No, it's not. They're working on it. In the meantime, though, it's happening.
Right.
Babies are dying, but yet it's not. This is where the Supreme Court, in my opinion, is derelict in their duty. How can they then allow this to occur? You've got this FDA, unconstitutional as it is, literally basically making up the rules, saying, oh, yeah, you can do this. We don't care what a state says. We don't care about state sovereignty. You can, you know, mail using the post office murder medication and no problem. And so, yes, is this still waiting to go to the courts and waiting to be adjudicated? Yes, it is. So you're right. We haven't seen the last of this. In the meantime, though, every baby murdered counts along this way.
Oh, it does. And here's the it's not a problem. It's an issue that ought to be further elucidated. Let's put it that way. Is the U.S. postal system a constitutional process? Yes, it's mentioned Article 1, Section 8. Okay. So it is a federal agency, if you will. It's not one of these phony baloney Federal Reserve kind of things. It's a federal constitutionally recognized entity. Can you ship guns through the mail when you? No, you can't. You can't do it. Well, why? Well, because there's a federal law to use this federal agency, and no, you can't do it. So there could be an intervention that says,
and I pray there is, and that's the reason we're talking about this, because we need to push for one.
Yeah, absolutely. But the fact is, it's going to be half the states probably are going to have the most open ability. I mean, you could kill a baby on the steps of Walgreens if you wanted to, you know. I mean, if it's before it's born. Now, then we've got to solve that problem. But again, the Founding Fathers understood clearly that before a baby was born, it had the rights of a living person. And those rights are enunciated in you know, they were at least illustrated. Maybe they weren't fully elucidated, but they were illustrated within Blackstone's commentaries on the law. And he says, yeah, they have legal standing. Founders knew that. And humans have a legal, yeah, okay, so you can't kill a living, breathing person. Why can you kill somebody that also has standing before the law, that's just before it took its first breath because it's still in its mother's womb? I mean, these kinds of things.
Yeah, again, you're right.
I always go back to our death culture. I mean, are you pro-life? Yeah, okay. So how come you're saying we got to bomb the heck out of all these third world nations all around the world? We're the largest exporter of death and destruction in the world.
Yeah, it's abortion, I mean, it's war, it's euthanasia, yeah. It's all these things mixed together. We have a pro-death agenda, and the government seems to be funding it with our tax dollars and backing it to the umpteenth degree for some strange immoral reason. Again, the deep state just loves darkness, it looks like to me. But now they're saying Donald Trump, he might consider Greg Abbott, governor of Texas, to be his running mate. What do you say to that? To me, that's disaster.
Well, you know, I don't know. Let me think about that for a while. But the fact of the matter is, at least he's constitutionally authorized to be there. I mean, rather than some of these others that are being kicked around, and some of these others that have, and maybe are currently still serving in some assignments that are constitutionally prohibited. But Abbott, you know, I think he'd find a lot of coverage with Abbott. I mean, I think there'd be and I'm not supporting it by any means, so don't get me wrong. It's the first thought I'd ever had about it when you just mentioned it moments ago. But John F. Kennedy, JFK, back in the day, discovered he could not win the presidency without the electoral votes from Texas. And he took a big gulp, and I think it proved fatal to him. He told Bobby to go get Lyndon to run as his running mate. Texas has 40 electoral votes. I mean, Texas and Abbott's mighty, mighty, mighty popular in a lot of circles in Texas right now. Of course, some of the big woke communities, he's not. But they got 40 electoral votes. That's number two to California, who's got 50.
Yeah, and California's pretty much a loss at this point, so you're going to have to basically say, you know. So anyway, Trump's looking at that very strong, and there's a lot, you know, to this. I'll tell you that right now. Now, there's an interesting thing. Election Channel debuts on TuneIn. So TuneIn creates an election channel. TuneIn is launching its, quote, new election channel ahead of Super Tuesday, so they just rolled it out over the weekend. They want to give listeners easy access to, quote, voter news and information. And you kind of wonder, will TuneIn do the right thing with this? Will they report the truth, or will they manipulate the news even further? We're going to have to keep an eye on that ball, but it's interesting. They announced an election channel. I haven't seen that before from an organization, really.
No, I haven't either, but we try and keep people, you know, apprised of a lot of things that happen. I mean, we rattle around the block about a lot of subjects, and so we give people something to think about, but you're right. I mean, can you manipulate, can you be a Zuckerberg or somebody like that that puts a, can you kick off like they did to me? YouTube got rid of me because I just didn't toe the party line, you know? So, I mean, those kinds of things, you're right. We're going to have to keep an eye on that. And likely there'll be a strong effort to manipulate and control the, you know, the storyline or the script or even whatever you want to call it that comes from them. So,
yeah, final story of the hour I find interesting. And a lot of these are like-minded. They're all to relate to the courts and freedom and who can do what and everything else. Headline says this. Appeals court overturns January 6th defendant's sentence, potentially impacting dozens of cases. Jack Phillips wrote this for the Epoch Times. On Friday, the U.S. Court of Appeals for the D.C. Circuit ruled that Larry Brock, who was convicted for a range of crimes related to January the 6th, improperly had additional charges. They call it a sentencing enhancement. Because of this and this, they want to enhance the sentence. It got struck down. The judge, who was appointed by President Barack Obama, concluded that any interference with congressional certification of the 2020 electoral votes does not equate to a sentencing enhancement like the government wanted it. Now, they say his sentence will be vacated. They'll have to re-adjudicate this thing, and the Justice Department, meanwhile, has been asking judges all over the place to offer this enhancement. And now judges are saying no. The point being, a lot of these cases now that have already gone to conviction and stuff like that will probably have to be revisited with this in mind, and they probably will lose the enhancement charge for all these people. So it'll shorten a ton of sentences if it goes well, Doctor, and a lot of people are waiting for and hoping for that to occur.
Well, and these sentence enhancement type things are, again, they're the way of really piling it on. I mean, it's almost like these ideas of double jeopardy and everything that are being violated across the country. But here's the problem. Here's people that have spent years in the dungeon, if you will. I mean, think about Ammon Bundy and his family and the time that they spent in prison. Totally, totally exonerated across the board about everything. Nothing resulted in a conviction. And how do they get those years back? How do these people do that? I really believe there ought to be some huge lawsuits that come out with huge beneficial outcomes and removal from the bench and everything else of these people that were involved, district attorneys, prosecuting attorneys, whatever you want to call it. They ought to have the full measure of exposure on their complete action. And I don't know how you're going to make it up to these people that have lost years of their lives over a thing that has been really kind of a witch hunt, kangaroo court kind of process, just like the Ammon Bundy and his family kind of thing. And I know that's not popular to say in the woke circles, but it's the truth.
I don't know really how to respond to some of this news that we're seeing, ladies and gentlemen. All I know is this, we've got to push for the truth. The Justice Department is asking judges for these enhancements, wrongfully so. It's got to stop. And Sam, the only way to stop it is if we stand up, Doctor.
There's a phrase I have in front of me all the time, right now. There's but one straight course, and that is to seek truth and pursue it steadily. George Washington. That's where we've got to do. Seek truth steadily. And we cannot back away from the truth. So have at it, brothers and sisters. We've got a lot on our plate.
Got a lot of work to do. Got a lot of good things going on. Thanks for being alongside for the ride. We declare this nation shall endure.